Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study in our Charting the End Time series titled, Simply, Who Will Be Raptured? This is part 2 of 2.
1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. I love these verses. There's more. I mean, these aren't the only. It's not just these two. You read this on your own. Read the whole chapter, but especially the last half of the chapter is great about the resurrection and the rapture. Read verse 51 and 52 with me. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, he says, without any qualification, he's talking about Christians, all the saved, shall what? All be changed. He doesn't say just the really good ones, the special. Yes, Johnny.
Well, I think if you look at verse 50, again, he says brethren.
Right.
Yeah.
So there we go. It's still brethren.
Yeah, the whole chapter, it's clear he's talking about all Christians.
Yep.
And so that settles that, don't it? But I want you to see how they do this, because, you know, you'll have people come along and say, well, look at this. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 41. And a lot of these, you'll notice the context is very important. That's always the first three rules of Bible interpretation. Context, context, context. Read verses 41, 42 with me. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So they try to make that look like, if I can give that this is talking about Christians and just some are taken. But as usual, the problem here is ignoring the dispensational context. This isn't even about Christians. This is about Israel. So it doesn't even apply to the rapture. He says in the next verse, there's two verses in there that we use all the time to tell people that we need to be watching and be ready for Jesus to come at any moment. But that's because it matches other verses that tell us the same thing, really. The context isn't even the church. Another one, just one more chapter. Go over to chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. I'll read join with me in verse 1. Read the odd with me. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, I tell everybody, you have to really look at the context, because there's some out there trying to say that none of these apply to the church. There are times where Jesus is addressing Israel and Jews directly as Jews in the nation of Israel, and it only applies to Israel. In this case, this is one of many where I believe that Jesus is telling them something that is applicable to the church age that we are about to go into at this point. This is Matthew 25. Three chapters later, you see the death, burial, and resurrection. He's preparing them for what's about to happen, and that he, when he tells them the Comforter will come and lead them into all truth. That's before the death, burial, and resurrection, but he was giving them that prophecy about the church age. And that's what I believe this is speaking about here. So the question is then, why? I'll say it this way. Then I agree with the context that these partial rapture people claim for this text. They say this is about the church. I agree. I believe it's about the church. So here's how we have to answer it. The oil they're speaking of here is the Holy Spirit. You see. So before we read the quote, look back there. You see that the ones with the oil go up. Those without the oil don't go up. What's that mean? That means you have to be saved and have the Holy Spirit.
To go to the marriage.
It's very clear, right? The bridegroom cometh. Who's he coming for? His bride. Who's the bride? The church. The body of Christ. And you have to have the oil. By one Spirit have we all been baptized into the one body. So you have to have the Holy Spirit to be in the body, to be the bride. See how that works? That's why this isn't saying that of, you know, 10 professing Christians, only 5 are going to go up. It's not saying that. It's saying that only those who have the oil will go up. Here's A.C. Gabelines, one of the great dispensational teachers of the past century. He put out an annotated Bible, 1919. And this is his quote about this text. Quote, "His true people who have the oil enter in with him. Those who possess not the oil," the Holy Spirit, that's his words. He's confirming what I was just telling you. "Because they have never believed on him, face a shut door and hear the awful word, I know ye not." Some teach on this an invention. They say the foolish virgins represent worldly-minded believers who will pass through the great tribulation. The Lord will never say to anyone who trusts in him, I know ye not. See? So there's some other passages that they'll abuse like that. I guess we'll look at one more here in Luke 21:36. You don't have to turn there. It says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy." See that? "That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." The entire context of Luke 21 is after the rapture. So he's not talking about the church in Luke 21. Jesus is speaking to Israel at the close of the 69th week about surviving the 70th week of Daniel 9:24-27. So that you have to pay attention when you're reading. I mean, there's no other way around it. And people don't. They don't pay attention to what they're reading. And you have to look at the context. And in this context, he's speaking to Jews who were in the nation of Israel. At that moment, it's still the end of the 69th week. When does the 69th week end? And what's the phrase we quoted in Daniel 9? When Messiah is cut off. You got them both. Bonus. 69th week of Daniel ends when Messiah is cut off. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Messiah hasn't died yet, you're still in the 69th week. And he's talking to them about the conditions of the 70th week. And that's just another thing we have to remember. Jesus offered the kingdom to Israel. We're getting into that into our Luke studies on Sunday. And he taught in that context of the potential imminent kingdom reign. Potentially, when Jesus was offering the kingdom to Israel, if they had received him, the millennium would have happened 2,000 years ago. It would have been over 1,000 years ago. Yeah. So that's why we can thank the Lord, you know, for His mercy and get grafting us Gentiles in. That's what it's all about. Romans explains it all. In our Sunday school class, we're open Bible study. We're going to be getting into that in a couple of chapters. So keep all that in mind as you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have to ask, who's he talking to? What is the context of his discussion? What's he saying and who is he saying it to and why? All those questions. And that's why you have to read carefully. Study to show yourself a work... approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. I was trying to get to that word right there. It does take work. If you just read the Bible, okay, I did my Bible reading for today. Jenny and I read, and we don't stop and discuss it. We read through it, but then after we're done, we have pretty good discussions. Unless it's really late, because she's 9 o'clock and she's out. Look at one more. Another great rapture text. John 14. If you have me do your funeral, this will be read at your graveside. Because you're saved. I don't read this at the graveside of an unsaved person when I do their funeral. But John 14, I do have passages I read, and they it's not that he lifted his eyes up in hell or anything like that. I do have tact. But I read fitting passages, and this is one fitting for believers. In John 14, 1 through 3, read it with me. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, Jesus doesn't even hint at the idea of only taking some of you. He says to all hearing him, let not your heart be troubled. What's the condition? You believe in God, believe also in me. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's got you a mansion. If it weren't so, he'd told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. Love that. So a final thought, and then we've got a few minutes for questions. Jesus doesn't marry part of his bride. Jesus doesn't take the head and the right leg and the left arm and, you know, in the foot. When he gets married to his bride, all his bride will be there. Even the carnal ones. Now, you know, some people describe carnal in a way that I don't accept it. When Paul was talking about carnal the people being carnal, he was talking about people who were fighting over dumb things like, I'm of Apollos or I'm of Paul. You know, he's not talking about people who give no evidence of salvation. If you're totally out of the will of God and don't give God a second thought and everything, you should. I just tell you what Peter said. You ought to make your calling and election sure. Paul said, check yourself whether you be in the faith. But there will be some that we may think they're not going to make it. And then we get up there and we're like, well, they did make it. You know? Why? Because some will be saved so as by fire. And that'll be one bonfire that won't make me sick. I'll be in my glorified body. I can handle it then. But I don't want there to be a bonfire for me. I'll watch your bonfire. <Just kidding. laughs> And he doesn't rapture just part of his body, you know. So, anybody have a question or? Yes, Charlie.
When or where did that idea come about? Like, how did?
Well, that first, remember that first slide? They said in 1853 there was this guy who wrote a book on it, and then from there other people just started.
You can't make sense of that, right?
But, you know, there's always been this thing. I mean, really, that's kind of what is behind a lot of this stuff, like Calvinism, you know.
I was thinking about
Briders. Yeah, the Briders.
Well, we are descended from the apostles. But
yeah, that's something we'll talk about in our apologetic studies. You know, the Baptist Briders think that they are the body of Christ, and the rest of us, if we're not a part of one of their churches, then we can be saved, but we're not a part of the bride. That's why they're called Baptist Briders. There's another good joke about that. Fellow went to heaven, you know, and he's walking around. He sees, you know, and he sees Jesus, and he sees all the apostles, and he sees some of his old loved ones and old friends that have been up there. And then, and he kept looking off and seeing this crowd way off in the distance. And he's like, and then finally he asked one of the angels. He said, "Who's this crowd over here in the far out in the distance? I can barely see him out there." He goes, "Don't say anything. They're the Baptist Briders. They think they're the only ones here." But that's how silly it gets, you know.
You know, the way they explain that is, so the bride is, you have to be the frozen chosen.
Yeah.
And then everybody else are just guests at the wedding.
Yeah.
That's how they teach it.
Yeah, we'll get into that in an apologetic study, but Landmark. Now, there's churches who call themselves Landmark Baptists. They're not necessarily Landmarkers, but some of them are. But that's the movement they call the Landmark Movement. And they just think that, the Church of Christ are similar to that, but they're even more radical. They think that only the Church of Christ are going to heaven. They really, the old time. Now, there's these guys like, what's this guy, Max Lucado? You know, there's some guys like that that are Church of Christ background, and they fell away from the faith because they don't teach that. And so the hardcore Church of Christ think they're apostate. But the real Church of Christ doctrine is they're the true church, and if you're not saved by water baptism, then you're going to hell. Yeah, Joe?
I met a girl one time who was one of those out of that church, you know. And I said, "Can I read your doctrinal statement?" And I looked at it, and it said that if you're not a member of that church, you're not going to heaven.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, "According to your doctrine, I'm not going to heaven." She said, "But I know you're saved." And I said, "Well, according to your doctrine, I'm not going to heaven." She said, "But I know you're saved."
That's how people will attend those churches. Yeah, they don't really believe what they, you know, there's like how many people we know are Roman Catholic, and they don't really believe that when they eat the cookie and drink the wine that it's really turning into Jesus' blood and body. That means they're heretics, according to their own church. It says you're anathema. They use that word for it. But that's why it's important to study. It's important to know these things because, you know, there's so many people out there in error that at least you can give them some information, like you confront them about it. A lot of people wouldn't even realize it; wouldn't even care, you know. Yeah.
This is related to the Catholics, but not much anything else. There was a video recently that I saw about is it Francis now?
Yeah.
Where you can just see the love in the Catholic Church, where he's like, people are trying to like kiss his hand, and he's yanking their hand.
Yeah.
Did you show the alien?
Yeah. Yeah.
This Francis guy is a real nut. Pope Francis. He should change his name to Fruit Francis or something. I mean, he's just nuts. And he said not too long ago that if you proselytize, which means preach the gospel to lost people, you are not a disciple of Jesus. Because his Jesus, which is made up in his own mind, his made up Jesus, didn't offend anybody, never preached the gospel to people who, you know, weren't believers. His idea is that we should all get along. He's like, Rodney King is his God. But we should all just get along, and just by getting along, holding hands and singing Kumbaya, there'll be world peace. He just wants to be the one at the head of the table. Yeah. Yeah, that's really what he's preaching. He's preaching the Luciferian doctrine. One of the people had caught on to that, and the title of their article or whatever was Pope Francis is a Luciferian, or preaching Luciferianism, because that's what it is. The Luciferian doctrine. Something else, isn't it?
Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Coming to claim his chosen bride. All the redeemed and purified. All that is whole and scattered wide. What if it were today? Day and night, following him by day and night. eternal joy. He's my friend.
And the practice makes perfect.
Oh, the blessed contemplation when with trouble here I sigh. I will home beyond the river that I'll enter.
The Lord lift up his countenance.